Well, it's great to be here with you guys this morning. Awesome to get together with godly men and enjoy a time of fellowship. If you have a Bible, turn over to Luke chapter 16. In Luke 16, Jesus gives one of his stranger teachings. It's kind of weird. You wonder even what in the world was he thinking when he picked this story that he told. He tells a story about a guy who was dishonest. He was lazy. He was actually cheating his boss. And then the boss told him, well, that was smart. And then Jesus says, you guys need to be more like this sneaky guy. And it's like, what? I mean, that's a lesson, but let's look at it and see what he says. Jesus, in verse 1, said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, the guy who was like a manager who worked for him. And an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give me an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. So this guy has a guy working for him, and people are going, this guy's just flaking. He's not doing a good job managing your resources. A steward was someone who would take stuff that belonged to someone else and would try to manage it for them and hopefully come out well. And so the boss hears that this guy's really flaking, so he says, it's kind of like telling you that your taxes are going to be audited. We're going to meet at the end of the week, and I want you to bring all the evidence that shows that you've been responsible. So the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I can't dig. I'm ashamed to beg. So he goes, he didn't even think, well, hopefully there's enough evidence, or I can hide evidence or whatever, and I can make it look like I'm responsible. It was like immediately he's like, I'm done. There's nothing I can do. And he goes, now I'm in big trouble. I won't even have a place to live, because physically I'm not able to go work manual labor to dig. I don't want to be a beggar because that's too embarrassing for me. So he's thinking, what can I do? He said, I have resolved what to do. I have an idea. That when I am put out of the stewardship, he's going to fire me, that they, other people, may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. A measure of oil was like 8 to 9 gallons. That's a lot of oil. So he said to him, here, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. You owe 100? Let's just make a bill that says you only owe 50. Then he said to another, how much do you owe? So he said, I owe 100 measures of wheat. These are like several bushels of wheat, and he owes 100 of them, lots of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill and write 80. So, what he did, and there are some people who try to flower this up and act like he just went and said, oh, you owe him 100? Hey, look, pay me right now 80, or pay me right now 50, and let's call it even. But it doesn't even say that he got paid. That's a pretty common practice in business. They call it discounting receivables, where when people owe money, you don't think you're going to get it. You go, look, if you pay me now, I'll take this much. But it doesn't even say that. Basically, these guys had the paperwork, and he said, look, as long I'm still the steward, so let me sign paperwork that says you owe a lot less. He wasn't trying to collect money and make himself look good to the master. He was just trying to make friends with these guys so that he actually is stealing more from the master in order to make these guys feel obligated to him. Maybe they'll give him a job or give him a place to stay or whatever. It's a pretty shady thing for him to do. So, but check this out in verse 8. So the master commended the unjust steward. It isn't that the master said, well, finally you're working. No, he was an unjust steward. What he was doing was completely unfair, ripping off the master, but the master actually said, well, I've got to give you this. You're working harder now than you have been before. And he said he had dealt shrewdly. The word just means wisely. For the sons of this world, Jesus says, are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. So the master said, at least you're thinking. I gotta kind of admire you that even though you ripped me off, you're fired anyhow, but hey, at least you're thinking. At least you're making plans. You've never done that while you were working for me. Seems like you have some sort of initiative now. But then Jesus says, you know, there that he goes, look, you guys need to listen to this. You need to pay attention to this. The sons of this world, people who are in the world, are sometimes wiser in their generation than the sons of light, than the people who are claiming to follow Jesus. And then he goes on to explain it a little bit more. Now, you could look at that and just go, so sounds like Jesus is saying, man, Christians need to get a little more shrewd. They need to get a little more clever and sneaky, and they can afford to con people a little bit. And a lot of evangelists, you'd swear, that's what they thought this meant. Like, okay, now I'm going to really get smart with the way I rip people off. But that's not what Jesus is saying. Look at verse 9. He says, And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon or money. Use the stuff that you have to actually make friends in order that when you fail or when you die, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He goes, see, this guy, as much as he was a crook, at least he's thinking about the future. At least he's going, okay, what can I do right now that's going to make my future better? And now, but he says, and you guys who call yourselves sons of the light, you're not at all living your life in such a way like you even think there is a future. And he said, there's a way that you can use the stuff you have, your money and your possessions, that will actually prepare the road so that when you die, you're going to have things better when you're in heaven. You're going to have things, actually, it looks like you lived your life like you cared about what happened later. He's going, this guy that's a thief, at least he's thinking about what's coming later. Your sons of the light, are you thinking about what's coming later? And then he goes on further and he says in verse 10, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. You can trust somebody with a little, you can trust them with a lot. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. You can't trust them with more because they couldn't even handle a little bit of stuff. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, just money, it's just neutral, who will commit to your trust true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You can't serve God and mammon. So Jesus is taking this kind of strange story and he's saying, now, what about you? What is it that you are doing with your life that's going to make things matter in the future, in the next life? You believe that when you die, you're going to go to heaven. So what are you doing here and now that's actually going to, that looks like you're really living for eternity. You're really wanting to make a difference. And then again, as he says, nobody's going to trust you with a lot if you can't even handle a little. Kind of the idea is, whatever God has given you right now is a test. And what you do with what he has given you now is going to determine what he can entrust to you later. But then he brings it down to the ultimate point, which is, look, bottom line, you cannot serve God and mammon. You just can't do it. And that's a real heavy thing, because I think most of us kind of feel like, well, I mean, I sort of serve God and I sort of serve stuff. You know, sometimes I bounce back and forth between them. But this is Jesus talking, and he goes, no, You either serve one or the other. If you serve stuff, you cannot serve God. If you serve God, you cannot serve stuff. So, I mean, what does this mean to us? Well, first of all, the Bible makes it really clear that we are all stewards of God's stuff. You know, that everything He gives us comes from Him. A lot of times people think that, well, you know, I got all this stuff and now I need to give part of it to God and then He's cool. I remember I had a friend when we were growing up and his whole goal was, you know, to get his first $1 million by the time he was, I think, 25. I think he ended up actually doing it right before he went to jail. But I was going, well, what if God doesn't want you to have $1 million by the time you're 25? He goes, hey, as long as God gets his 100,000, he doesn't have anything to say about it. You know, and his idea was, as long as God takes 10%, then I can do whatever I want with the other 90%. But, see, it isn't that way. The Bible tells us everything we have belongs to God. It's not like how much of what I have do I need to give to Him. It's how much of what He gives do I dare spend on myself. And so, I mean, that's challenging, but that's what Jesus is saying here. Paul talks about this over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, where he says, we are stewards of the mysteries of God. And he said, here's the deal. It's required of a steward that he be found faithful. Peter talks about this in 1 Peter as well, where he says, every one of you has a gift, and you are a steward of that gift. Stewards of the manifold grace of God. The grace of God is different for everyone. We all have different gifts, but it all comes from God. And so we have to. It's so important for us to look at our lives now and go, okay, do I want to live life right now? Or is there something I can do today that's going to pay off in the future? That's going to pay off in heaven? That's going to make a difference there? Because if we don't think about that, then we're just kind of diddling our life away down here and not making a difference at all. And someday, we're going to be held accountable by the boss who says to us, I gave you this. I gave you this talent. I gave you this skill. I gave you this area of knowledge. I gave you this money. I gave you this house. I gave you these relationships. Look at all that I gave to you. What did you do with it? Now, you know, we can look and say, well, you know, he hasn't given me that much compared to somebody else. You know, I can just go, I don't have a ton of money. I mean, I think this is really more applicable to a really rich, you know, like Donald Trump or something. Boy, is he going to be held accountable. No, because he's going to be held accountable the same basis we are. What did you do with what I gave you? And someday, the day of reckoning will come. And for many of us in our lives already, those days of reckoning come where we, you know, we waste. I mean, some of the testimonies that you heard shared were so good. And every testimony was at least somewhat about, here's what I had, and here's how I threw it away, and here's how I had to start over. See, in our lives, it's that way. It's like, man, God's good to you. Let's see what you do with it. And then we'll talk about your future. I mean, the cool thing is, God never says to you until you're dead. God never says to you, it's over. He never says, that's it, I gave stuff to you, you didn't do what I wanted you to do with it, so I'm writing you off. I mean, His mercies are new every morning. It's ridiculous that God trusts any of us with anything because we've all wasted so much. We've all been the unjust steward. We've all been the lazy crook who takes advantage of others, who expects others to pay their way, who just does what they can get away with. We've all done that. And yet, and certainly most of Jesus' disciples at that point were guys who had really frittered away an awful lot of their lives already. Many of the other people he was talking to, Pharisees and people like that, thought that they were really good, but they were really getting ticked when Jesus said this. If you read on, they were really mad because they had a lot of money. It's like, well, why would that make you mad that he says, you need to take what you have, you need to take your money, you need to take your gifts and your skills and your time and make the most of it for what's coming later. Well, the Pharisees didn't like that because they wanted that stuff to be theirs. They didn't even want to be challenged that maybe it's not yours. And I think today, the biggest test that we face is the test of that question, are you going to serve God or are you going to serve stuff? What are you working for? What are you saving for? How are you making your decisions? How are you judging whether your life is going well or not? It all comes down to that. You can't serve both. Now, you might go, yeah, but what can we do with, you know, the little bit of money we have that's going to make a difference in heaven? Well, Jesus gives an example. He said, you can take your money and you can spend it in such a way that people are going to welcome you when you get to heaven. I mean, what does that mean? Hey, being able to tell somebody about Jesus, being able to, if you can take your things, your talent, your money, your time, whatever it is, and invest it in another life, and then partly because of you, they get to go to heaven. Man, when you get to heaven and you see, here are the lives that I made a difference for them, just, you know, today, you know, a guy that you prayed with and a guy that you prayed for, and you have a chance to encourage them. I mean, do you understand that, like, when you guys get to heaven, you're going to remember that moment? Well, I believe that every good thing in our lives, every great moment in fellowship, we're going to remember. I think when you get to heaven, you're going to remember this morning. You're going to remember the, you know, the eggs and the pizza and all that kind of stuff even. And you go, man, that was a great morning. But every day we decide, what am I going to do that is still going to look like it was a smart decision when I get to heaven? What am I gonna spend my money on that when I get to heaven, I'm going to go, that was so worth it? And certainly a part of this is tithing, giving money to the Lord's work and things like that. But if you don't give like that, I mean, you don't serve God. Just be honest. You're serving money. If you're into debt, if you get yourself into a big mess and charge up a lot of debt, you know, I mean, in our country, there are some, I read the other day that there are 71% of every credit card is, they only pay the minimum payment every month. So that means 90% of what people are paying on their credit cards are just paying interest. They max them out. You know, and it's like, why in the world? Why do you do that? And there are, you know, of all the people in the United States, 75% of them said that if they lost 3 months' salary, they would be bankrupt. We're that close to the edge. And it's like, yeah, we live stupidly. That's why I read a poll the other day about prayer. And one of the main things that Christians pray for, at least 21% of Christians, pray that they will win the lottery. A fifth of all Christians who pray are praying that they win the lottery. I mean, the lottery is just, when it first came out, I said, that sounds like a tax on stupid for me. You know, it's like, yeah, okay, and I guess if that's what you want to do with your money, hey, great, help the schools or whatever it's supposed to be doing, or the, you know, the reservations. But, yeah, it's like, come on, that's the way you think you're going to get ahead. Well, then that's what you're going to have to show for it. But when you think of what could be, you know, what could happen, what God could do, again, not just giving money to your church, which you should do, but instead of, like, you know, maybe you go, oh, man, I went out and I spent, you know, a bunch of money on an expensive dinner. Okay, that might be a waste. Because, you know, an expensive dinner, a cheap dinner, pretty much turns into the same crap, you know? But you know what? How about having an expensive dinner and inviting somebody to come who can't afford a nice dinner? All of a sudden, you turn your steak into heaven, into an opportunity to minister to someone and encourage them. You know, some people are, you know, dumb. They buy boats, campers, and that kind of stuff. Okay, yeah, it's a waste of money. But if you have that stuff, It's the difference between letting it sit there or finding somebody who has some kids who never get to do anything, taking them out on your boat. All of a sudden, you turned that which has been entrusted to you into something that you can actually use for God's glory. And the more we do that, you know, it's like I can spend a lot of time just watching TV. I can, and I have at different times. You know, how many of us have watched, you know, we can't wait for a football season because you can watch NFL games. I mean, I've done that. You know, an NFL game, which is about 3 hours long on TV, do you know how much actual football there is in that 3 hours? 11 minutes. 11 minutes. Because the rest of the time is in a huddle and breaking the huddle and timeouts and replays and commercial breaks and, you know, it's like 11 minutes of football in 3 hours. How good of a use of your time is that? Now, I'm just tossing it out there. I'm not saying I'm never going to watch another football game, but I prefer to record them and watch them fast at the very least, or I'll have, you know, stuff there where I can be doing other work while I'm doing that, so that I'm not just frittering my time. But understand this, everything that you have, everything, every penny that you've ever possessed, every minute of your time, every talent or gift that you have, if you're good at something or know how to do something or have a skill, God has said to you, that's mine. That is all mine. Now, how are you going to invest it? What are you going to do with it? How are you going to make a difference with what you have that's going to last beyond this life? And I believe that the great privilege that we have as stewards of the grace of God, as followers of Jesus, is to just go, I want to right now make a difference that's going to last. I mean, making a decision to come to a men's breakfast on Saturday instead of sleeping in is a certain investment that you make. It's a, you know, contributing money to a ministry like this, doing, you know, going out and helping feed people, or, you know, just reaching out to somebody who looks like they're bummed and praying for them and encouraging them. Yeah, I know you could do other stuff with your time and money, but don't you want to make a difference for eternity? Don't you want to plan ahead instead of, like the unjust steward, just going, I'm just winging it. I'm just kind of going along, flying by the seat of my pants, doing whatever I can do. Most people in this world, that's the way they live. And it's not right. It's not fair to God. Because, man, He has given us so much. Just the fact that you live in California, oh man, we are so blessed. But, you know, what do? We stay inside all the time? You know, like 91% of people in the United States, 91% of the time, they're inside instead of outside. Mm-hmm. But to be able to get out and be in the sun and serve God, you know, just helping somebody, going over and helping them mow somebody's lawn, or helping them to fix things, or like some of the U-turn guys go out on these projects. I mean, every time I go anywhere, like where there's work that needs to be done, there's U-turn guys there. It's crazy. I remember being down at the when the tsunami hit down in southern Thailand, and man, there's like U-turn guys, and yeah, they're kind of rough around the edges, obviously. You know, there's this community that we were in where there's all these Muslims, and the U-turn guys were giving the kids little chocolate crosses, and they're going home, and their parents are getting all mad, you know. But it's like, hey, that's an investment. That's something that matters, man. If you had the chance to help stack bodies and talk to people and encourage them when they've lost their whole family, and be there to help them build a little shelter so they can be covered from the storms and things like that. You know, if you ever have a chance to do something like that, you'll go, that's one of the smartest things I ever did in my life. So the challenge for all of us, so whatever it is that God has given us and whatever He's called us to do, let's just zoom it right down into today and go, what am I going to do today that's going to last beyond me? What am I going to do today that's going to give me another thing to celebrate when I get to heaven? And, you know, you don't want to just trip out and be too, you know, like I just can't sit here and have dessert, or, you know, I can't just go relax, because sometimes that's what you need. But to be thinking about it this week, what am I going to do this week out of the ordinary that's going to, when I get to heaven, I'm going to go, man, I'm so glad I did that. That was such a good decision. I'm sure that you guys have all experienced it, where sometimes a particular moment in your life, maybe just a conversation with someone, or maybe just stopping and playing with a kid, or maybe calling your mom, or different things, that you go, man, that took like a minute, and I'll never forget it. I'll never, you know, that's something that is a treasure to me. Every time someone dies, and I have a funeral here in a few minutes, and my father-in-law, my wife's dad, passed away, and, you know, it's like, now that he's in heaven, and I thank God he accepted the Lord, and he's in heaven, so it's not like I'm mourning him, but every conversation I ever had with him, he was like an engineer who worked in the space and aircraft industry. And sometimes we'd just get so bored of him. He could go on for hours and hours talking about this underwear that he designed for the astronauts that filters your urine, you know, right in the suit. And it's like, I'm not that interested. My kids aren't that interested. You know, but now that he's gone, it's like, I'm glad he felt like that was important to him. I'm glad that I could sit there and nod and act like it's important to me too, because he's important to me. And I'm guessing, you know, when I get to heaven, he's going to be there, and he's going to have all sorts of things to talk about of what he's discovered in heaven, because he got there before me. He's kind of a know-it-all sort of guy that's always telling you how to do everything. Man, there are still times in my life where I just think, I miss him bossing us around. You know, it's because the times that we have here matter later. There's a whole lot that we do now that we'll never be able to do in heaven. Sometimes we just think, you know, that well, you know, boy, we have forever, so it doesn't matter. No, I mean, like, talking to somebody who's hurting, you'll never be able to do that in heaven. Actually introducing someone to Jesus Christ, you won't do that in heaven. They all know Jesus. You know, really enduring something difficult and coming out on the other side. You can't do that in heaven. But those are all things we can do now. And if we understand those things as being a stewardship from God, then we can realize, I can do things now that for all of eternity in the future I won't be able to do, but the stuff I do now will affect eternity. Now, if you've accepted Jesus Christ and you've asked him to forgive your sins and all, you know, I'm not saying that if you just completely waste your life and you don't, you know, give money to the Lord's work and you don't serve him and basically you just go off and serve stuff, I'm not saying that you won't go to heaven. I mean, I don't know where you're going to be at. We go to heaven simply because of God's grace, for sure. But I know this, according to Jesus, heaven can be way better depending on what we do here and now. Depending on how we take responsibility for what he has given us now is going to affect our experience in heaven. And, you know, sometimes I act like, oh man, as long as I get to heaven by the skin of my teeth, that's fine. I don't mind being the lowest, you know, guy doing whatever in heaven. I just want to be there. And that's true. But at the same time, if I have an opportunity to take people with me, if I have an opportunity for heaven to be richer because there are people that I've been able to touch their lives and that's why they're there and they're telling me that kind of stuff, you know, just in this life, I love, you know, so often I meet somebody who says, man, I was listening to you on the radio one time and I just had to pull my car over and start crying because I knew I needed to give my life to Jesus, and they go, it's never been the same. I mean, that's so stinking amazing. That they were listening to something on the radio that I'd probably taught a few years before. Somebody edited it. Somebody had to give money to put that on the radio. And then this guy's life has changed. But heaven is going to be so much more than that. Because everyone whose life you really touched, they'll remember what you did. Here on the earth, man, you get people going through tough times, you help them out, get them a job or whatever, and then they seem like they kind of forget it. When they get to heaven, they're going to remember. Everybody's going to remember. I just want to be somebody who takes today and tomorrow and this week, and I go, I want to be responsible. I want to plan ahead more than an unjust steward who is just trying to save his own neck. I want to plan ahead so that I can make heaven better. Now, you know, if you're here, most of you guys probably know the Lord, but if you're here today and you don't, you're not even sure where you stand with Him. Now, I'm telling you right now, if you don't know where you stand for eternity, you're a fool. This is completely stupid that you are alive now and you don't know when your life is going to end, and you're not making plans. You're not thinking ahead and going, I need to make sure that I've got this taken care of. If that's you, and today's the day for you to turn your life over to Jesus Christ, give it to Him, and begin, commit yourself. And maybe everybody that knows you thinks you're a Christian, but you know deep down inside, I'm actually more serving myself than I am serving God. And you want to turn that around and begin to serve Him with all of your heart. As simple as telling Him, I want to start over today. I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want to serve Him. I want to live my life today in a way that will make a difference for the future. However you live your life affects your future, without a doubt. But trusting your life to Jesus Christ will give you an amazing future, and it will put you on the path to where you can make a difference. Now, if you've never done that, or you feel like, I did that a long time ago, man, I need to just make a commitment, I'm not going to ask you to get up, come forward, or anything. I'm going to ask you to do something even harder than that. I'm going to ask you to ask one of the guys, before you leave here, grab anybody around you and say, you know, he was talking about wanting my life to matter for eternity. I want mine to matter. And will you pray with me so that I can commit my life to Jesus Christ? If that guy looks at you kind of stupid, then take him and go to somebody else. Until you find somebody whose eyes light up and they go, that's awesome. Let's pray. Let's do this. And I pray that you won't leave today without knowing that you, today and the rest of your life, you have an incredible stewardship entrusted to you. Everything you are, even the cool thing is, the stupidest things you've ever done in your life become a part of your stewardship. It's like, okay, I have experience being an idiot. That's something that there are plenty of idiots around, you know? And so it's like, hey, even that, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. But you go, here I am, and I want to make a difference in what matters in heaven going forward. I want to make a difference in people's lives. I want to make a difference in pleasing God. I want to be prepared to really make the most of every opportunity that I have. So every one of us, and I'll pray for all of us, because we all need this, but if you're like, this is big, right now I feel like, man, this is, it's time for me to turn a corner in my relationship with the Lord, then I just challenge you to grab somebody, maybe somebody you don't even know, and just go, hey, will you pray for me? And they'll be glad to lead you in a prayer to start life over. Smartest thing you could ever do, best decision you could ever make. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for all that you've given us and the opportunities that you give us to make a difference in heaven, to make a difference eternally. Oh man, we're so blessed. And yet, most of us, at one time or another, we're just kind of messing around, wasting time, wasting money, wasting talent, not doing those things that will matter in the future. So help us to know how to live our lives today that we can make the most difference in the future. And Lord, for the guys who maybe haven't committed their life to you in a real serious way, that they want to start over today, help them to know that you are welcoming them with open arms, and that then you're going to give them gifts, and you're going to give them opportunities, and now they can begin investing in heaven for things that really matter, the people that you love. So give them the courage to tell somebody, to pray with them, to know that they're taking the biggest step of their life. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, guys.
I say I'd love to stick around, but I have to be in Huntington Beach at 10:30.
God bless you guys.
Thank you, Jeff. God bless you.